Name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the seventh month, the sixth day of the year, 2025, and it's the fourth Lord's Day after Pentecost, which the Lord hath made. And it's the feast day, St. Maria Goretti. You want to pray to her, especially for chastity, sexual chastity and purity, even in married couples, to use the sexual act in a proper way between husband and wife. It's really simple. You just tell the people the only sexual act you're allowed to have is between husband and wife, and within the confines of what they're allowed to do. Anything outside of that is a mortal sin. That's it. Done. You know? That's it. It's really simple, but it's not simple because that's one of the biggest things the devil has on people, especially when you're not in a state of grace and you're with pagan parents. We all grew up with it. We grew up with all kinds of bullshit, so you got this lust demons in you. So, really, you pray to St. Maria Goretti, and she's a big one. St. Augustine, too, though, because St. Augustine had it. He was out there, you know, like a lot of us, a lot of these women he's fooling around with, and he discusses about how he was a captive to this, and then all of a sudden he became chaste, which is a wonderful thing because you see how much the devil owns you. You know, you lose your use of reason even. You do irrational things. It's a horrible thing. So we pray especially to St. Maria Goretti for holy purity and chastity. That's a big one to conquer. But like I say, though, it is a big one to conquer. And you have to have the faith first before you can conquer that even. Because without the faith, you're under that Romans 1 curse. Not everybody has the impurity, sexual impurity curse. Some it's money. See, that's another big one, money. Money's lust. You know, people lust after money, like more than even, and also intellectual, pseudo-intellectualism, smarts. That's another big thing. That's worse than even some of your sexual sins. These guys that had that intellectual pride, it's like a monster. They can never get enough of it. They just keep, it's such a scourge, intellectual pride. And money, the love of money. I mean, you see a lot of these apostate Jews, and not just them, other people, because Freemasons and a lot of people, they lust after money, but Jews are especially big on that. They lust after money. You can never have enough. And then, and see, even with all these sins I'm talking about, you're never really satisfied. They can never get enough. You always got to get more, 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 more. Always more, more. You look at all these, I mean, not just the homo sins, but adultery. Look at adultery. What do you think? That's no good neither. That's a big one. Well, you're reading about St. Alphonsus saying we're allowed to have a red light district in Catholic countries?
Oh, but not a saint.
Did I call him a saint?
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Whoa, that was bad. Apostate, immoral, pig, slob, Alphonse de Liguori, taught that in the Catholic, you could have a red light district because, he said, but instead of committing adultery, it's better to go to a whore. How about it's better not to go to anything? How about it's better you don't do none of that stuff? None of it. He's promoting a lesser sin, that we can commit a lesser sin.
That's heresy.
So think about the implications of what he's teaching there. Okay, Mr. Alphonse, genius, where are we going to get the whores from? Your Catholic daughters? It's a Catholic country. Where did it come from? Oh, guess what, Mr. Alphonse? All our young girls are virginally pure and chaste in this area of France. So where are we going to get the whores from? Well, you're going to have to pervert some of them. You know, I hate to say that, but get about 10 of the virgins and show some pornography and pervert them so we can have a red light district. Right? That's what this bastard's teaching. It's like these priests teach that you cannot stop sinning. They teach that. You cannot stop sinning. I grew up with these bastards. What about be perfect and holy? God's perfect and holy. Confession was used as an excuse to continue to sin and sin boldly. It's the same thing sort of like Luther said about faith without deeds. They're saying confession without repentance. So I can go on being a fornicator, doing all my sexual sins as long as I go to confession. When I first learned about the proper confession. The Catholic Church is so beautiful. You stick to her laws. It's God's law. What is a sincere confession where your sins get remitted? You got to be sorry for your sin, truly sorry, and you got to repent. You got to say, I don't want to do it anymore. Please, you really mean it. Now, you may fall a couple times, but every time, as long as you really want to stop, really, God, I don't want to do this. I'm sorry. Then the priest gives you absolution, and then your sin is remitted. If you go into that confessional with the priest, the Catholic priest, and you're not sorry, and he gives you absolution, you walk out guilty. You're not remitted. Your sins aren't remitted. God knows that. He sees your heart. If you go in there and you're sorry, but you don't want to amend your life and say, I still want to do it, he can give you absolute absolution. You're walking out of there. You're still guilty. And when I learned that, I went, that makes sense. That's justified. That's good. But the confession I grew up with is, you don't have to be sorry. You don't have to want to repent. Just go in there. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I committed an act of sexual fornication last week, adultery with the woman. And guess what, Father? Can you give me absolution ahead of time? Because I'm going to do the same thing two more days from now. Pre-absolution. I tell that joke, you know, about the mafia guy. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I murdered somebody last Wednesday. And Father, can you give me absolution ahead of time? Because I got to murder someone else on Monday, tomorrow, or two more days from now. Can you give me a pre-absolution? Because that's what it amounts to. Because God keeps coming back every week for the same thing. What is a priest supposed to do when that happens? After he realizes you don't have a firm purpose of amendment, that priest tells that guy, I can no longer absolve you because you're not sincere. Your sins are not being remitted. You're making a mockery. Now go out there, and when you're chased for about 6 months or 3 months, or you're not murdering people for about 6 months, then you come back, and then I'll absolve you. That's when the early church, there's certain situations where people are so bad, they won't give them absolution until they repented. Because I realize a lot of these people were insincere. So you come back and tell me, hey, okay, Father, I haven't committed any sexual act in 6 months, or I didn't murder anybody, the mafia guy, in 6 months. And I really, really mean, okay, good, now you can come to confession. And now I can give you absolution. And things would happen, too, like you test people. So, like, if the guy came back after 6 months, then he fell again, which could happen. If he was really pure for 6 months, he's trying. So he can fall again, so you give him a couple of chances. But if he keeps falling consistently, my way is, you don't have to be so strict on first offenses, maybe even second. But my thing would be, if you're like a, let's say you commit adultery, and you're not sincere, so the priest, he sees you're not, he says, you're not sincere. Every week you come up, you're not trying. I ain't gonna do it. Come back to me when you're not committing adultery for 6 months. So the guy's not committing adultery for 6 months, he comes back, and the guy, and the sort of priest gives him an absolution. Then a month later, he falls again. So we go, what happened? I'll give you absolution again. I hope you're sincere. Now, if he comes back a third time, what I would say, last time I told you to wait 6 months before I can give you absolution to make sure you're not committing that sin. Now it's going to be like 2 years or 1 year. I agree with that. I don't agree with giving that kind of a sentence right away. So if you're a first-time offender, you like Mary Magdalene, not her. The woman in the Bible that was caught in adultery, I mean, if it's a first-time offender, you're lenient. You're not clubbing them. You're giving them some chance. A week or 2 weeks. They had some of these early penitentials that said, first time somebody commits adultery, 7 years before I can absolve you. You're on bread and water for 1 year. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It chases away people. If you give the wrong penance, if it's your penance is too extreme, you do the opposite of what God wants to be done. It's brutal. And when you give a penance like a bread and water for 1 year, how many people can do that? So now you got them breaking their penance rule and they're falling into sin and despair because it's, I can never do this, so I'll never be, I can never expiate and do my penance, so my sin can't be remitted if I don't do my penance. I'm dead. Despair, hopelessness, just go out and sin like a slob. There's a balance on proper, these early penitentials, some are brutal. Some of these heretical penitentials are really bad. But I'm not against extended penances for multiple offenders, is what I'm getting at, okay? Because when you're looking at somebody who's like a three-time offender and he's going back, then I understand that, I do. Because now you're looking at a person, you gave him the 6 months, he was okay for 6 months, went bad again, gave him a second chance, maybe another 6 months or whatever, and he came back and then he did it again. Then you're saying, this is a multiple offender. And Jesus does say, forgive 7 times 77, but he doesn't tell you the gaps of time be forgiveness. So we're not saying that somebody cannot be forgiven, even if they offend 7 times. But what we're saying is, If they've done it a third time, you got to drive it home to them. You say, you're not listening. You're obstinate. We've given you a lot of time. I was a third time. I would say, okay, now 3 years. I can't absolve you into 3 years. You're out. You're under a minor excom for 3 years. And then after that, you got to come back and tell me that you're chaste and you're not doing that sin anymore. And then I'll give you the absolution. Now, if he does it again, a fourth time, 7 years. And they would even have these penalties, which I can see it too. I'm going to tell you the difference between the justified penalty and the one that's really bad. If they're really bad and the guy keeps sinning, they would say, this guy, we're going to leave. You cannot be absolved until on your deathbed. You're that bad. You know, technically they would say, technically, and even adultery is a death penalty, or the homo is a death penalty. But you could mitigate that, which is what Jesus did with the adulterous woman. He didn't undo the death penalty. It was still there. He had mercy, and he mitigated it. So what I'm saying is when somebody's really bad, they would then say, you're so bad that only on your deathbed will we then give you absolution. So that's it. And I agree with that. With the obstinate sinner who's like, they would have certain people that committed certain sins once, like murder or something like that, and they would say, you can have your sin remit until you're on your deathbed. It's like the guy, he hasn't proved to be obstinate. Maybe it's the first time he confessed that he committed. Now he's out of the church his whole life until on his deathbed. That's brutal. But it's not brutal for the guy that's obstinate, because the obstinate guy who keeps abusing the sacrament of confession, and you see that this guy keeps doing that, then I agree with that sentence. They had another sentence which the other popes condemned too. But here, we're talking about on deathbed though. On their deathbed, they got to be repentant. It's not like, oh, the guy's dying. He's committed adultery all these years. Has it repented? So we're gonna. He has to confess on his deathbed. You just don't go into that guy without a confession and go, you're on your deathbed, absolute, you're done. He's got to confess on his deathbed, and if he's right with God, and he knows he's been bad his whole life, he would be, and he really wants to. He would pour out his guts to you on his deathbed, and then you give him the absolution. If he doesn't repent on his deathbed, then you don't give him the absolution. Bye-bye. The thing that was bad is the don't exist and love people are sin. There's certain sins that can never be remitted by anybody on earth. And that was, like, bad. That was, like, really heretical. Like that. One pope came along eventually, and they said, condemn that. They said, no. No matter how bad their sins, or no matter how many of their sins they are, when somebody's on their deathbed, if they confess, and for all extensive purposes, you presume they're sincere and sorrowful, give him absolution. If he's not, well, don't worry about it. God will take him and he's going to go to hell. But if he confesses on his deathbed, we have to give him absolution. We cannot deny it. You can't say, no, I'm not going to do it. Other Donatists and other heretics were saying that there's certain sins you cannot even have them remitted on your deathbed. And that was a heresy that crept into, I don't know if it was a heresy in the beginning and allowable ping that was condemned later on, but you'll have popes that fought, came out and condemned that. And say, and then the donors would get angry because the Pope would come along and say, no, we're still merciful. God does forgive as long as you repent. Then they would condemn that Pope as being lax. Oh, you're lax. You're liberal. You let these people sin and do whatever they want. No, he's not doing that. He's saying that as long as a priest believes someone's sincere, and see, that's the reason you would give a guy who's obstinate, sinning a lot, will you make him wait a long time? Because then the priest says, you've come here before, and I can now see by empirical evidence that you're not sincere, that you're not really sorry, or you don't really want to amend your life. I can see this by what you're doing. Prove it to me. So my point is, but on your deathbed, they would then give it to them and hope that they were really sincere on their deathbed. So they would not deny them. And they would even say to people on their deathbed, if they can't talk, as long as they can motion, you know, like you say they can say yes or say no, tap her hand once, tap her hand twice. But you have to have some conscious confession. They would have examples of people too that would confess, but priests weren't there, but other people heard them and said, Father, he confessed to me, credible evidences. And Now he's unconscious, then the priest could give him absolution. But he needs proof from credible witnesses that that man, when he was dying, told his family members or somebody, I'm so sorry, I committed this sin, get the priest over here, I want to confess, I'm sorry, but the priest don't get there in time. I mean, he's not dead yet, but he goes unconscious, and he can't verbalize to the priest can give him absolution, but he gets a testimony from the people. It's a good thing to talk about this on a feast day, St. Mary Goretti, because she's pure, but those sins, it's not just sexual sins neither. People think those are the only sins. It's lust against money, lust against the intellect. And sometimes it's the self-righteous Pharisee, like the Donatists, who don't want to forgive anybody. They're brutal. Oh, look at like the self-righteous. Look, Lord, how good I am. All the rest of these men are sinners, and I'm perfect. And he didn't even see how imperfect he was, how uncharitable he was, how unmerciful he was. And these are the very Pharisees, when Christ came, they didn't want to believe in him. They were so, it's like the guy Shimei in the movie Chosen. Shimei was the strict guy. You know, he don't want to have no epikaya, no exceptions to the law. How dare you eat that corn on the Lord's Day, you know. And God gave many great examples about taking an ox out of a pit on the Lord's Day. This is the epikaya, where they had no, they turned disciplinary laws into dogmas. It's not a dogma. There's exceptions. It's common sense. So I'm saying, you don't always have to have these gross sins that are obvious, but sometimes these people, they don't realize that their lack of charity, the lack of mercy is a mortal sin, their brutality, their stoicism, Stoics,
yeah,
deep in mortal sin.
Yeah.
So take your Stoic, he hardly eats anything, he's like a stick, he doesn't commit fornication or anything, he doesn't murder, he doesn't like money, but he's a Stoic.
Yeah.
What's his sin? He hates the material world. He condemns God's material world. He may not say it like that, but he abhors it. He abhors food. He abhors pleasures. He abhors good things. So what he's saying to God is, all the stuff you created is horseshit. Really is what he's saying to God. Oh, so I created horseshit, God? So I create horseshit? That's what you're telling me? Well, he does create horseshit. No, right. I created all these things, and you're telling me they're evil? And you're denying the very nature of man and making it impossible for your average person to want to be holy. Because if you tell them that this is the only path to holiness, it's like telling people every time you breathe, you're sinning, and they can't stop breathing, so they feel guilty. I ate a piece of food and I had pleasure because it tasted good. Oh, mea culpa, mea culpa. They're rotten bastards. They're as sin as they're as bad as the homo, the adulterer, the murderer, the thief. The Stoic is a thief. He's a thief. He steals God's pleasures. He got good pleasures. He steals the good things God has given us, and he turns them into evil. He is bad, and he doesn't see himself that way. That's why our Lord said tax collectors and whores and even homos, if they repent, will enter before you self-righteous Pharisees, especially a lot of these guys, too. They had the Stoic bent. And that's what the movie Chosen shows out really good. Oh, yeah, Shimei was the strict guy. Shimon was the more liberal guy from Hillel. And he would fight with one another on the laws. That's why they couldn't stand Jesus. How can you disciple, you heal the guy's arm on the Sabbath. Oh, the Lord's there, you're healing his arm. I love it, too, because, of course, he liked doing it on purpose just to get under their skin. Because he saw all the stuff they were doing that was so... We got those people alive today against Epikai. Anyone who's against Epikai, exceptions to the law, disciplinary laws. They're like these Pharisees. Oh, I bring this in. I bring. He says you can do that. You show them all these examples, and they don't even want to listen to you.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Catholic Church is, if you follow her rules and her rituals the proper way, it's beautiful. But none of us grew up with that. We were perverted. The Mass was nice and all that, but when it came to the faith, forget about it. And that's what God told me first when I was converting. The first thing, before I can completely become chaste, was to have the faith. And God, Richard, first you need to have the faith so I can lift the Romans 1 curse off of you. And then I will clean up your immoral sins. But first comes the faith. And how do we learn that in that one verse in the Scriptures? The beginning of all sin is the devising of idols. And the invention of idols is the beginning and the end of all evils. sins against the faith is the beginning and end of all evils. So all your immoral problems are rooted in that.
Yeah.
Because you're not worshiping the true God or believing in Him. You don't got the grace to be moral. So a lot of times, people sometimes really do want to be moral, and they can't. And they're frustrated because they keep falling into these sins, and God says, it's because you didn't put me first and put the faith first. Come to me with the faith, then within 6 months for sure, whatever your mortal sin is in, against the world laws will be cleaned up. But if you think that you don't need to come to me first and worship and adore me and believe in all my dogmas and put me first, then I'm not going to give you the grace to be moral. You're going to fall into one type of sin of immorality or another. And that's it. It's even worse for people who knew God or are around people who know God and don't listen. But He does this to everybody. Even if you don't know Him, you're going to fall under that curse one way or another. The devising of idols is the corruption of all life. The beginning, the cause, and the end of all is the devising of idols, sins against the faith. That was the first sin Adam and Eve committed because they had no immorality. They were pure. It was a sin against the faith. They put Satan over God.
Yeah.
They listened. It was like an act of treason.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to listen to him. I'm going to listen to Satan. And then after they committed that sin against the faith, by putting Satan over God, then they fell into sins of immorality, came into the world. Now they got all these horrible sins, all this, our flesh got all messed up and weakened. We get bit by mosquitoes, we get bit by snakes, I mean, we get sick, we get illnesses, we get these little gnat flies hitting you in the head. You got all kinds of things happening, right? None of that was meant to happen. We messed up the animals, they're all messed up too. The animals have every right to, like, kill us. I mean, if God, it's in one of the scriptures, when God unleashes nature, forget it. It's just in Texas. You see that flood in Texas?
Yeah.
It just killed about 22 people.
Yeah.
A lot of missing.
Yeah. A lot of missing, too, right?
Missing.
I mean, that hit like lightning overnight.
7 inches.
So anyway, that's your big thing. The other is be careful who you keep your company with as your friends. Look at who your main friends are. Look who are the people you enjoy talking to the most, and that's who you are. It's in one of the verses. Birds resort unto the like, Amos 3:3. And then, yeah, they're the one like the daughter, like the mother. But you are who you hang around with. You are who you consider to be your best friends. So if your best friends are somebody on some Norvus Auto site or some other site about these Christian identity people or these stupid people that hate the Old Testament, if these are your best friends, if these are the people you enjoy talking to the most, you're damned. You're done. You wonder why you had trouble in your life? You keep going to these guys and listening to them in spite of the fact that you know that they're teaching some really crappy things. Everybody that has a false religion or a false belief, they can say a lot of good things, they could. But if you're there long enough, you're going to find out they can say a lot of stupid, dumb things that you can detect by the natural law and reason and God's grace. And if you stay there and you choose them instead of good Catholics, especially when you know about good Catholics, then you're damned. There's no hope for you. There's a point where God will finally completely cut you off and you're going to get worse and worse. And these people wonder, why is my life so messed up? Why can't I overcome this? Why can't I overcome that? Why am I so confused? Who are you hanging out with? Who do you consider your best friends? Who are you communicating with as your number one people to communicate with? That's what we're talking about. Even the one guy that came on the site just a couple of weeks ago, he's not even on the site at all anymore. He doesn't even inquire. I mean, if you're not in an inquiry, you don't even belong here. Come back when you want to inquire. I'm not forcing you to believe anything. But if you're not here and you're not inquiring, then where are you? I don't mention his name, but he had a problem with Oriental religions. Like, I'm from the East, and he was into a lot of that stuff. Fine, okay, you can overcome it, though. But my point is, and he said he wanted to overcome it, fine. But he hasn't been through, I don't even hear from him. So I'm going to tell him, you're not even an inquirer. Remove him from the site and say, you come back When you want to come back and you really want to be an inquirer, email me, and I want to go back and forth to you on an email before I bring you back in here. I'm not telling every inquirer they have to believe everything, but they got to inquire. You have to have some interest. If this St. Augustine, it took him a while to convert. So a long time. We don't force people to convert, but he was inquiring. He would show up to Ambrose's lectures. He would listen to them. He would ask questions. But what I'm telling you is be very careful. And a lot of times it's family members and friends, because they're your family. You don't want to lose them, so you go along with what they believe in. Your family members are Norfolk Orders, Vatican Tours. They love Fatima. Oh, Fatima's so great. After what you know about Fatima, but then you're afraid to offend your parents, so you're still praying the Fatima prayer, and you're still thinking maybe she's okay. After everything we showed you about that stupid, false, lousy apparition, and all the bad fruit that comes from it. Think about that. You know that, but you're still doing the other thing because you want to appease your parents. You don't want to get them angry. But sometimes, too, it's even you really think it may be true because you're going over to these Vatican II sites and you're reading their stuff. You're talking to them. You're chatting with them. You're listening to their devotions. Hey, that's pretty cool. Hey, that's pretty neat. Look, all these guys can say some good things. You can be seduced. Alphonse Liguori's book, he can have a book that has like 90% of the pages are really good. But then he hits you with the curveball. And then when you find out what the guy really believes, and I got no respect for the guy. I can use his quote if he's going to back up a dogma or something. Here's what this guy believed in. But I don't admire him. I can't stand him.
Yeah.
If I don't have to read his stuff, I ain't going to read it. Because I know what he did. I know how he died. There was no repentance on him when he died.
Right.
It's not like we have it on the record that he's presumed to be damned. You know, you can still use their works to prove what they believed in or something, but don't admire them. Don't be going there and trying to learn how to be moral from them.
Yeah, right.
All these books on morality.
Yeah.
I got a whole bunch of them there from all these people. Books like this on how to be chaste. I love the movie once. Obey God.
Yeah.
Keep his commandments. You will be pure. And your enemies will flee from you. Be chaste. Do not fornicate or commit adultery. Don't do the homo thing, or you're going to go to hell forever. It's a mortal sin. Done.
Right.
Burn all those books. That's it. If they don't believe in that, they don't fear God. They're like thinking they can. I'm not against trying to give examples. It's fine. There's a place for that. But if that's overdone, it's like what are you trying to do here? You know, like you don't get just. Look, if the person, you tell them, you read the Bible verse where St. Paul says you're going to go to hell. I mean, that's pretty sufficient.
Yeah.
You're going to go to Gehenna. Either you believe that or you don't. You want to go there? But a lot of these people would do it, and they themselves would be heretics. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, it's like they got a flowery way of speaking. They overdo it, too. His false devotion to Mary, it was mushy and syrupy. It went too far, Alphonse. Way too far.
Yeah.
Then you got, oh, it's crazy. Unbelievable. Who's that one? It was him, I think. He said Mary was so pure and so removed from the world.
Oh, yeah.
That she didn't even know who her parents were.
Was that Louis de Montfort?
Yeah, it was a Montfort. Yeah. That was Louis de Montfort. What did he say again like that?
Basically not. I didn't know herself or her parents and the angels didn't know her.
Yeah, and angels didn't know her, and she didn't know her parents even. She was so removed from the world. Is that like goofy or what? Is that like crazy? What, are her parents bad? Hey, brother Matthew, come up here. Just so the other buzz know you're here. You think he's really here, by the way. Here he is. See? He was up there yesterday, but he's really there. He is. He made it. See, he's getting taller. He's filling out a little bit over here. See, he's doing good. And so Sister Kat's going to be coming over here next week. They're not online today, by the way. She said they're selling today. That means it might be sold, right? I don't know if it means sold or just trying to sell. But anyway, here he is. See, he's here. He made it. He's safe. He's sound. Thank you, St. Patrick.
Flesh and blood.
He's doing some good work. Flesh and blood. There he is. But anyway, from all appearance of evil, refrain yourselves, which is a scandal thing. Like, again, going back to you are who your best friends are, or at least who you find yourself most comfortable conversing with. I'm not against conversing with people on political matters if you have to do it a little, but we got it. But there's a point, though. I don't get obsessed with it. I mean, You go in there, I make my point, and I get out. I'm not going to hang out with these people if I know. Okay, so you 90% of the stuff you said is good, but 10% is goofy and it's bullshit. Why do I need to stay here with you anymore? Just think about this. If you're... We still try to convict Tucker Carlson's and all. They're not 100%. We listen to their stuff. I don't communicate with. If I had to, I would. I would tell him some things he needs to do and where he's wrong. But you got to find out, where is your heart? Where do you really want to be? Where do you? When we go there to convert these people. It's not them to convert us. We can learn some things about politics, maybe. But when you learn that somebody in this chatside arena, for instance, they hate Jews racially, or they hate the Old Testament, and you're still talking to these people, you're dead. Yeah. You're dead. What do you think God thinks about you? Exactly. These people that hate Moses, yeah, and they condemn Moses, and they condemn Esther and Mordecai, and they condemn Isaiah, they condemn all the faithful Jews. Or to say Jesus wasn't a Jew. And you're hanging out with these people? You're talking to them? You want God to bless you? You want God to bless you thinking like that? First of all, you're not supposed to hate anybody. And when you put down the Jewish race like that, God did come from, the salvation is from the Jews. John 4:22. They get blinded by the evil Jews today and they put them all in the same basket. You think you can talk to these people and be with these people and God's going to shower his graces on you? And you wonder why you're having all these troubles trying to figure stuff out? We had one guy. It was when Will was talking about Muslims. You know, he was conversing with Francis Maloof up there in the St. Benedict Center. And he believed Muslims worshiped the true God. This was years ago. And the guy wrote me about that. Rich, where did you hear that? Well, I heard from Jean Pollock. She told me. She was present the first time. She's the first one that told me about it. Then I had Brother Will call him up. And Will spoke to him. And he told Will they worshiped the true God. So then years later, Brother Andre got involved in this because this thing, somebody must went got to him. And the guy was trying to ask, do you have a recording with Phil when he had him on the phone? Brother Andre gave some lame brain excuse, which I could do another lecture on that, how stupid he is, what a jackass he is, which makes him almost believe the same heresy, which he might. But I don't, my point is not that right now. We can get into that. But the guy that was bringing the question up to Brother Andre, and Brother Andre gave his excuse, and it didn't sound so good, you know. And then Phil got involved, and he said, go over to Richard's thing on this about the Muslim. Look at this. And then that guy goes back to Phil, goes, oh, Richard's got some good stuff. I don't like him. He says God is a Jew. He said God is a Jew. I don't like Richard. I'm not going to go. He said God is a Jew. Well, what is he? Is Jesus Christ God? Everybody? Is he a Jew? God is a Jew. Because I said God is a Jew, he doesn't want to listen to me. And I don't want to listen to him. Get out of here, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
What is he? If he's not a Jew, what is he? He comes from the line of David, of the tribe of Judah, unless you're a monophysite heretic who believes he has no human nature but only a divine nature, and he's pretending to be human, which is another heresy. And that, Krapner, you know, Brother Krapner, we think he holds that one. He was debating this Viking guy, who's a pagan Viking, Adam Green, and he said, well, you know, Adam Green hates the fact that God's a Jew. He doesn't like it. He wants God to be a Viking or, you know, the African guy wants him to be an African. Floki. Everybody wants God to be their own race. And Kapner placates to these white racist people. And he said to Kapner, well, God's a Jew, for instance. He came to the line of David. I don't believe God's going to choose any race. This is sort of what Adam Green was saying. I don't believe God will pick any race. But your religion, because he's talking to Kapner, says God's a Jew. And Kapner says, no, he's not a Jew. Kapner said that. And Adam Green says, what do you mean he's not a Jew? The guy knew the Bible better than Kapner. He said, wait a second. He comes from the line of David. He's born of a virgin, Mary, who comes from the line of David, the house of Judah. He's a Jew. No, he's not. You don't understand. He's not a Jew. And he said, he's not a Jew. He says he doesn't have any race. This is what Kapner was saying. And I got this on record. And I told Will, get a hold of Kapner and find what's going on with this guy. Is he a monophysite heretic? If you're a monophysite heretic, you can say that. Again, monophysite heretics believe Jesus only has a divine nature. His human nature is a phantasm. It's fake. It's not real. It's like Archangel Raphael when he appeared to Tobias. And he looked like a human. He even told Tobias he was Azariah from the tribe of one of the Jewish tribes. And he was really an angel. in human form. So there's a case where that guy's really not human at all, but he looks, that's what they believed about Jesus, the monophysite heretics. So I said, call up Kaffner and find out if he's trying to placate to the white racists that hate Jews. Oh, no, he's not a Jew. Jesus wasn't a Jew. So he never answered Will.
Yeah, it's on Twitter.
Will never got an answer from him. He said, do you believe Jesus Christ has a human nature? And if he has a human nature, where did it come from? Where did it come from? This hatred of any race, let alone any person, God despises.
Yeah, racism.
He hates it. I went over this many times. I understand, I don't like these current day apostates, use their as evil as anything could be, but don't paint them all with the same color, and don't even, and love them even, because they can convert.
Yeah.
Once you start thinking like that, God's going to say, take a look at yourself. Adam Green, you're a pagan, he hates the church. Look at yourself. You're a Viking bastard, you're a slob. You want to be forgiven if you come to the font? Well, they can be forgiven too. If God can convert a pagan, Viking, or a Hindu, or a Buddhist, or a Muslim, he can convert a Jew too, an apostate Jew.
Yeah, of course.
But here's this guy. What did he say? This is on the Trishul. This is a trad cat, maybe from the St. Benedict Center. And these are the guys that got angry at me talking against the Jews. We're living in a crazy world. The biggest sin they had against me was I'm condemning Jews, and they condemned me for condemning Jews. But now they're condemning me for being a Jew. They get jealous. So, I don't know what it is. One guy was talking to the guy, Patrick Pollock, and he said, the younger Patrick Pollock, and he said, are you following that Abramowitz guy? Abramowitz guy. And he goes, who's Abramowitz? And he goes, that Abram, he's a Jew. And he goes, I don't care whether he's a Jew or not. I don't know, he's Catholic.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Is he Catholic? Oh, so according to you people, the final day the conversion of Jews, which is in the Bible, is all fake. And if they come in, I'm going to suspect everyone of being a Romano. So I'm not going to accept them when they come in. And which is going against the word of God and his mercy and all that.
Yeah.
Which brings us to another thing. Once you start suspecting everybody of being a spy, which these people do, they get into that. Everyone who's a Jew is like, and then they start saying everyone's a Jew. Everyone, you know. Who's the goofy? They said, this guy's a Jew, that one's, he's a Jew, he's a secret Jew, he's a Jew, this guy's a Jew. Anyone who's bad, he's like a Jew. So all the good people are Gentiles, all the bad people are Jews. They get into this crazy stuff. And my point is, the way I look at people when they come into the church, if they're Catholic brothers, I presume they're good. I look at them as good, unless I have proof otherwise. If you start looking at everybody like he's a spy, you're going to chase away good-willed converts. I told the brothers last night, I'd rather have 1 million Jewish spies in here than cast out 1 good Catholic because of it. Let them stay in here until I got proof. I'm not going to start looking at everybody. You can say that about everybody. How do I know Phil's not a spy from the CMRI? How do I know Phil's not a spy from Chicago? You know what goes on in Chicago. You know that new guy. Maybe Phil, maybe Will knows him. Look at Brother Matthew. He came from England. You know England. I bet you was talking to King Charles III before he came over here. And he's a spy. He's a spy. Oh, Brother Alex, he's a spy. He's a spy. You're a spy. You can say that about everybody. And that breaks down the charity of the brothers.
Yeah.
Now you're suspecting everybody, you're looking for something. And my point is, if somebody, and I'm not denying that we've had spies in here, I agree. And we're going to get spies in here. But the way you deal with it is you do not accuse anybody, you do not suspect anybody, you do not say anything until there's proof. Then when if you get a lot of proof, you can start out with suspicions and maybe then start checking a few things. But don't do that with people.
Yeah.
Don't do that. What is that? Brandon's a Jew, he's bad. Show me why I'm bad. If I'm you know why Abrini condemns all the Jews? It's fake, because he wants you to get on his side, because he really likes the Jews, but he pretends he doesn't like it. You know, now people do that. They act. People could pretend to be, look at the anti-popes. They pretend to be Catholic, they're not. Fine, that can happen. But on that point, you just can't accuse somebody of that alone. You got to wait and find out till he breaks. If a spy comes in here and his job is to do something bad, sooner or later he's going to come to the light. You're going to find out. He's going to do something. He's going to tip his hat. He's going to do something. If you look into a, in my case, you have evidences of for like 30 years now, since I was the Diamond Brothers in 1996, 1995. That's a lot of years of evidence.
Yeah.
I must be hiding under this veil pretty long time. Men are going to come out tomorrow and say, guess what? You know, I hate Christ. I hate Catholicism, you know. Well, if that happens, but I mean, this is what they're doing.
Yeah, that's evil.
These people, they don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
And it's against charity.
Yeah.
It's against charity. And they believe all this shit. You know, they can tell a lot of stories. Hitler was in the occult. He was this, he was that. Charlemagne committed incest with his daughter. I mean, you got to hear the stuff they say about Constantine and Charlemagne.
Yeah.
They lie about good people is what I'm telling you. You want to go listen to these stupid people. Look what they did with the Holocaust and 9/11. Look what they did with evolution and heliocentrism heresies. They got books filled with this shit. So you tell me, when I'm exposing how they are lying about Constantine, how can all these books say Constantine did this? Because they're all lies. Stack up all the books on the Holocaust that defends the Holocaust. You can fill up the whole world with them, you know? It's like almost the opposite, you know. They're filling up the world with all these Holocaust books. And they're all... So, I don't care. When you get back and you look at the truth of the matter, you can discover it.
Yeah.
But you've got to be very, very careful when you start judging people without evidence, is what I'm saying. It is. Rash judgments. Yes. We get people in here, and we've had people that were spies in here. And we have a strong suspicion of that. I'm not against that. There's got to be evidence. There's got to be proof. You go, well, so far, Richard's been living the Catholic life. He admits when he's wrong. He's doing all this, but I still think one day he's just going to go bad. You can say that about anybody. I mean, you can say that about anybody. Anybody and everybody. You can go bad. You're all bad. Let's all just split and get away from one another and live in our little cubbyhole all alone. But they end up hanging out with the white racist or the hater or the sinner. They end up hanging out with those people. Those they become their friends. The people that espouse these hatreds and these silly, stupid things that they say. And here's a point why you're worthy of it, too. If that person is coming out and telling you God's not a Jew, Jesus was not a Jew, Jews are evil, Moses stinks, the Old Testament stinks, and you call yourself a Christian and you're hanging out with these people, even if you don't believe it, but you're listening to these people, these are your friends, you expect God to give you grace? Instead, he pulls his grace away and curses you with the operation of our curse, that you may be alive. And the operation of curse is that Antichrist coming is according to the working of Satan, all power, lying, signs, and wonders, and all seduction of iniquity to them who love not the truth, and they shall perish because they consented to iniquity, and I will send in the operation of error to believe lying. I will send in the operation to believe lying. I will pull my grace out so they will believe it. And the guy can say, how come you left me with this group of crazy people? What do you mean by I left you? You wanted to be there. Didn't you know at that one time when he condemned Moses as a bastard in the Old Testament, you still stayed with them? Oh yeah, I remember that. And you didn't leave, did you? No, I didn't leave. That's why I pulled my grace away. And that's why you then began to believe in these people even. You become clouded. You're under a veil of darkness. That's what's going to happen on their judgment day when God speaks to them. In spite of all the fact that, you know, especially, that's so goofy. You know, like the Old and New Testament, everybody knows that goes together if you're a Christian, even if you're a nominal Christian. But these guys hold that heresy. They condemn the whole Old Testament. And we see there was a lot of prejudice coming on with the Stoic people about the Old Testament. Ibrani said, God is a Jew. Ibrani's God is a Jew. Well, according to you, what is he then? What is he? Did he become man? Did he take on a human nature? Jealous bastards. What they don't realize, though, a faithful Jew is us. A faithful Gentile is a faithful Jew. It's the same thing. Yeah. We're brothers. We're the same. They have nothing to do with the current day Jews that are evil. They can't stand them. Our Lord said that, I was reading that today, it was my verse. He says, if you believe in Moses, you will believe in me. But because you don't believe in his writings, how will you believe in what I'm saying to you? Yes. That's what he said. Exactly. You claim to believe in Moses, but you don't believe in Moses. So Moses wrote of me.
Yeah.
So the real Moses is in conformity. It's not even a matter of race. It's a matter of faith and belief. It's a racism. It's a jealousy. And then you get the people that try to accommodate the racism. Well, you can paint Jesus as an Oriental, you can paint him as a black, you can paint him as a Spanish or a German or anything but a Jew. Well, you can paint him as a Jew too, but he's whatever you want to be. He's not whatever you want to be. He's a Jew from the tribe of Judah. That's what he is. You don't like it? Tough. Mary. Think about that. They don't like Mary. But then other people make excuses, though. Then they go, like, they weren't real Jews. They were something else, you know? Like, they were, like, Gentiles or something. They don't even like the word Jew sometimes. Technically, the word Jew means from the tribe of Judah. It doesn't mean all Jews. But the reason they used it for all Jews was after the Babylonian exile. Before the Babylonian exile, they're really Israelites. And the Israelites came into being with Jacob's 12 sons. And when the northern kingdom went into exile, 10 of your tribes were lost almost. We don't even know where they are down until today. They're out there somewhere. They're called the lost tribes. But my point is the southern kingdom was mostly Judah and Benjamin and some Levites. And you had a few from the other tribes. But it was ruled by Judah. So when they went to Babylon, these are mostly your Jews are from Judah, Benjamin, Levi, and a few from other tribes. And Judah was the dominant tribe, so they called them Jews, Judea, from the tribe of Judah. But they then incorporate that to mean all Jews. So so Christ is an Israelite and he's a Jew. If you want to use its strict term Jew, which means from the tribe of Judah. So I said, call him whatever you want. Israelites, Hebrews, Jews. Use the word you want. They came. Salvation is from the Jews, from the Israelites, from the Hebrews. That's why I love this Chosen movie, because it shows not all Jews are they're not all the same. There's good Jews, there's bad Jews, there's Jews in the middle. It's just like anybody else. And there's some really evil Jews today, I agree. So it's ironic, too. You know, I'm hated by both people. The Jews can't stand me because I condemn the Jews, so I'm an anti-Semite. My biggest thing was they got rid of me because I'm always condemning the Jews. Now, the white racist people don't like me because I say I'm a Jew. And Jesus was a Jew. I get hit from both sides. You got the white racist who hates the Jews who hate the white racists, and they all hate me. That's why I said it would be great to get your white racist bastard and your bastard Jew in the Talmud who hates Gentiles, and they come together into the true church and embrace one another under Christ. Yeah. And that has happened. In the past, it happened during the conversions and all that. It's going to happen again. But the way they are right now, they fight with one. And it's illogical when you look at their statements. You know, you talk to a guy like Adam Gritz. Okay, Adam Gritz. I think he said he didn't believe Jesus was from any. He didn't believe in Jesus at all, so it's pointless. He doesn't even believe in him. You know? He believes in him, but he believes he was a phony. Doesn't he believe he existed, though? The historical reality?
I think he believes it's a myth.
Yeah. Huh?
A myth. He believes it didn't exist.
Oh.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Adam agree he believes Jesus didn't even exist.
Yeah.
Think about that. You know, people try to pull that crap on us.
Yeah. A myth created by the Jews for the Gentiles.
Oh, it's a whole myth. The whole thing's a myth.
For the Gentiles.
You know how we refute them? Or sometimes they'll say Jesus really wasn't crucified or something. I said all the historical events when Jesus lived, yeah, from pagans and from believers, Jesus existed. The Talmud itself tells you he existed. The Jews that didn't like him wrote about him. They don't like him. Pilate wrote about him. Roman historians wrote about him. Josephus wrote about him. Oh, so they're all liars. Then where did you get your thing from, Mr. Green? It has to have a link somewhere. Where are you getting your thing from where it's a myth? He never existed. I'm going to quote you every Roman historian that was alive at the time of Jesus. I'm going to quote all the Jews that are alive, not only at that time, even after that, in their own Talmud. They said he existed. He was born. You know what they say about him. But he existed. We killed the bastard. No, they're saying all stuff about Jesus, right? Josephus wrote about Jesus. So what do you do with people like that? This guy's living in another planet. He eradicated all history. I mean, it's pointless to talk to a guy like that.
Yeah,
I know people twist history. That's why you got to investigate. So the burden of proof is on them to go back and tell me everybody that said Jesus didn't exist. Prove to me that every one of these sources is false. Then come up with your own source that said he never existed. Or a source where they're mentioning that period of time where it implicates that Jesus never existed. Show me. And let's put them side by side. So he comes up with zero. You want to talk about, and this guy, in spite, because our church has a history. History's good. True history's good. That's how we go back. Our tradition of the church is how we know our history. This guy denied his true history. He denied. And you're going to listen to this guy? You're going to follow this kook? I'll put a hatchet in his head. That Adam Green, a Viking guy. I'll show you a Viking. You think I'll bust your head.
Good.
It's in the Bible. Lord said, I'm going to make your head like brass. And they're going to fear you. I can't wait to butt heads against Netanyahu, too. And smash his head. But understand, too, that all of the sins against the faith is what prevention. If you're having trouble with sins of immorality, you got to put the faith first, and then God will morally clean you up. And I mean the real faith.
Yeah.
Think about this. You want to get cured. You want to be moral. You want to be pure. And you go to the Vatican II Church where they tell you, sin like slavs. It doesn't matter. We all sin. We can't stop sinning. So just come to confession every week and go back out and sin like a slob. They support homos. They got homo marriages in that church. They bless them. They don't condemn adulterers anymore. Abortion is not a big deal anymore because kids are all saved. You want to go to that church and be moral? They don't even preach morality. I mean, you're not even on first base. There's a church. Hey, I want to be moral. Well, you came to the wrong church because none of us are moral. No, we're not moral. We can't be moral. We're all sin. We can't stop sinning. Yeah, but I want to stop sinning. Don't you understand? I want to stop sinning. Well, then go to another church. Don't come here. And you're not going to find one, sonny boy, because we all sin and you can't stop. Well, then what's the point of me coming to this church if I'm going to stay the way I am? If I want to stop being a murderer, an adulterer, or lusting after money, or whatever it is, or a thief, but I want to come into your church to stop, and you're telling me I can't stop. And you can tell, they can tell pain, they say that. You don't have to stop, you're going to be saved. Well, natural law tells you that's bullshit. You mean to tell me God's going to let me in heaven in spite of the fact that I don't want to continue to do this and I don't want to stop? That's bullshit. So I'm talking about the guy that really wants to stop in this here and now, in this world. He wants to stop sinning.
Yeah.
And that church tells him, nah, you're never going to be able to stop. I wanted to tell all these people I was chased, you know, and they were like putting a curse on me. And I tell you that story many times. And I said, you know, I've been for 30 years. I tell this kid, I said, he says, Richard, don't say that. Don't say that. He says, you can fall tomorrow. You can fall. I says, what are you putting a curse on me? I know, like, I don't want to fall. He was acting like you're going to fall. It's sort of what he was saying. And you're going to fall, Richard, and when you fall, it's going to kill you. Well, I hope I don't. But I mean, it's like he's putting a curse on me. Because he couldn't stop. You know what he used to do, this guy? You know, he would go to different priests because one priest would stop absolving him. Because, so he would go to another priest that would give him absolution. But I said, you're putting a curse on me. You want me. You're angry because I'm chaste. You're like envious because I'm chaste. Or you're like, hey, you know. And we are supposed to be perfect and holy. It's in the scriptures. Ephesians 1:4, be perfect and holy. Deuteronomy 18:13, be perfect and holy. Yeah. Old and New Testament. And God cleaned me up. I'm leaving proof of all of that. You want to talk? Priests can't live chaste. I was married. I had a lot of different women I went with, all this kind of stuff. And you're trying to tell me that if I can be chaste, St. Augustine could be chaste. A priest can't be chaste? It's bullshit. It's not just a priest not being chaste. They teach nobody could be chaste. Even when you're married. That's what they teach. All these married people are committing sin. Looking at pornography. Not all of them, but a lot of them. And if they're not doing that kind of a sin, they're doing something else. They're guilty of some type of sin of immorality. So just make sure you put the real true Catholic faith number one. Our Lord says in Matthew 6:21, where thy heart is, there is thy treasure also. Is your heart with us?
Yeah.
Or is it with someone else? Or is it with the Vatican II Church? Or the Renaissance Church? Or these white racist bastards? Or these Talmudic Jews? We don't know about here like that. But, well, where's your heart? Where is your heart? We're going to have that problem when we get some of these Jews coming in here to make sure that they shed their path, their Talmudic religion, the Messianic Jews.
Yeah.
You got to look at yourself square face in the mirror.
Yeah.
Who would you rather listen to? Who would you rather believe? Who would you rather be with? If it's not with us, then get out of here. You're wasting my time. I don't mind wasting my time, but I don't like having people in here. Here's another thing. If I find out somebody's really bad and they're not listening. They've been here for a long time, especially if you're like a member or you're a catechumen. choirs you can be a little bit easier on, but I get angry. Like, what are you doing here? You're defiling it. If it's on the site, it's not as bad, you know, but when you have a Catholic brotherhood and you're all supposed to be the same mind, you get somebody acting up like that, if they don't get right pretty soon, they're out because they'll destroy the whole pan. Lack of charity. Where does charity start? With God. That's the first and most important commandment, to love God. Then you love your neighbor. So let this lecture be a warning to a lot of you people that if you're hanging out on these other sites, you're talking to these other people, and you come over here once in a while and pop something on and think you're going to be okay, then you go back out there and start talking to these people. And you're not really being friendly with us. And you don't want to be friendly with us. Yeah, you'll be a little bit indifferent. I'm just warning inquirers, too. There's a point where you can inquire, and then sooner or later, you better get on a horse, or God's going to pull his grace away. And you're not, as long as you're inquiring. Like, some people don't even inquire at all, so it's like it's like a done deal, like the guy McCarthy. I mean, there's something like he was like on there for 3 months, and I don't even know. He wasn't even on there. So what are we keeping this guy on here for? Get rid of him. Get him off. You want to come back? Email me and start talking to me on an email, and I'll see if you got some qualities. There's so much stuff on my website anyway that, I'm just saying to some of you people out there, you know, you're wondering if you have sins of immorality, why you can't overcome, and it's because you're hanging out with the wrong people, you're listening to the wrong people, you're committing sins against the first commandment, and it gets even worse for people who know us and then don't listen. But what choice do you have? If you go, well, if it gets, then I wish I never heard about Richard because it's going to get worse. You're going to go to hell either way. You know what I mean? Your thing is, but they don't understand, when you learn about the true faith, yeah, and you really love God, and you come to the church, it's the easy way. Yep. It's the peaceful way. It's beautiful.
My yoke is sweet.
My burden is light. How true. Yeah. It's freedom. You don't want that freedom? Fine. Stay where you are. But we cannot let people who are obstinately mortal sinners and really bad to stay in the camp. St. Paul says that. Yeah. Romans 1:5-11. Anybody that's named a brother, if he's a fornicator, or an idolater, or a drunkard, or a railer, or an extortioner, which is such a one, so not much as to eat. Don't even eat with them. Yeah. And they ruined the charity which is in the camp. It's like, oh, an obstinate mortal sinner doesn't want to be around you neither, because you indict him. So two things are going to happen. If you leave that obstinate mortal sinner in the camp, you're all going to be like him and fall, or you kick him out and let him go with his obstinate mortal sinning buddies in the world, and you keep the camp pure. He doesn't infect it. We have people in here that had less problems and intellectual problems. Smart guy, really smart. Watch out for them brains, too. Smart people are, it's like riches. You got to be careful. If you're not humble, and if you're smart and you're not humble, you're in trouble. Very smart. And he fell into lust. And I told him, he left and came back, and then he finally left and never came back. But oh, no, he came back one more time. I think three times. It might have been the three-time thing I was telling you about. But I told him, even now, if he's listening to me, I says, well, just remember what I'm telling you right now. I said, if you don't stay in the church, you're going to go through a really hard time. There's going to be a lot of problems in your life. But don't despair. If you think you're about committing suicide, don't do that. You're going to go to hell. Just know that don't let the devil fool you. You can repent. You can convert. You can come back. Just remember what I'm telling you now. When your life gets miserable, God beats the shit out of you, beats you all over the place, repent and come back and we'll have you back. And I told him that. He hasn't come back yet. But he fell into lust, met a woman, didn't marry her, had two kids, bastard kids. And here it is. But imagine if you keep this guy in here. We got a bunch of bastards. Spiritual bastards. Oh, some guy got angry. Richard used the word bastard. Richard used the word bastard. Well, where's that word bastard?
Hebrews 12:6.
Yeah. 12:8.
12:8. Yeah.
Whom the Lord loveth, he chastises. He scourges every son who receiveth. And if you be without chastisement, then you are bastards and not sons.
Yep.
This is throughout the Bible. He uses the word shit, right? They called it dung back then. Germans call it scheiße, and so you don't like it too bad. You see how we weed people out? Normal, goodwill people, they like this, the way I talk. They do. Normal. I mean, there's still some people out there that are not wokey, and they're not cowards. I was interested, some guy, I was looking at the UFC results today, And one guy said, chickens can't be goats. Goats mean greatest of all time.
Yeah.
A goat. That's what they use in sports. If you're the greatest of all time in a sport, you want to be the greatest boxer, the greatest football player. But it's good. He said, chickens can't be goats. And that's true if you're a coward. Or if you're a wimp like some people we know, like the guy that just left, this little mush cake. He's going to see bloodlust, all right? What a wimp. What Bible is he reading? That's why I quoted up that verse where King David captured his enemies,
ran over them
with chariots with iron on it, took out knives and cut them apart in pieces with a knife, and he threw them in brick kilns, brick ovens, and burned them. How's that? That's King David. Bloodlust. Little faggots. I can't stand these wimps. That's why what we teach here separates the good from the... I don't want these people with me. I was thinking about the Diamond Brothers too, in relation to how stupid they are. I mean, absolutely, extremely stupid. The thing they just posted up is stupid beyond stupid.
Yeah.
And if you praise that video we put up and you say he's okay, then you're stupid beyond stupid. I don't want you here.
Right.
I don't want you here. I don't want you near me. Get away from me. You're a waste product. You're a mental retard.
Yeah.
Stay out there with the kooks.
Yeah.
They're kooks. Oh, they're crazy, man. And they of course, they post. They love praising themselves. They always. If it's not someone else, it's the people. They get the comments. You know, he's the greatest man. Oh, he's so good. Oh, this is the greatest video you ever made. You know, and I should contact one of these guys and go, do you go to a psychiatrist? You take a mental pills or what? You know, something wrong with you. What are you like normal? What's your IQ? You know, have you been watching too much Spider-Man or like playing Barbie doll? I mean, you think that the video was good? Think about what he's basing his whole thing that you got to believe in because of that. Where's the faith stuff? Let alone the fact that it's goofy. I mean, I'm not against God's done miracles for us and signs. I'm not against signs and wonders if they're legitimate and you handle it the right way. This guy's a goof. God's doing us a favor. People migrate to who they belong with. And our Lord said, in these final days, most people are going to hell. Not just in these final days, in the history of mankind. Matthew 7:14. Enter the narrow gate, for narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. Many are called, few are chosen. Matthew 20:16. Isaiah compares it to shaking an olive tree, and there's only like two or three on the top. All the rest go to hell.
Yeah.
Isaiah 17:17. All right?
This perverse nation seeks
a sign.
Signs and wonders.
Yeah, it's a perverse nation that seeks signs and wonders.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's that. That's it. The people that seek signs and wonders. The people that put signs and wonders above everything. They do. That's why you see all these false apparitions, these Medjugorjes, these Fatimas, these signs and wonders. A true sign and wonder is backed up by faith and morals. It has to have a root where faith comes first and morals, and then the sign and wonder to attract you. These people get attracted by the sign and wonder. That's all they're looking for.
Yeah.
That's all they're looking for. And they get that sign and wonder. All these apparitions from so-called Mary, these blasphemous apparitions, they go to Mary and not to church. You try to tell them about a dog. Oh, Mary said at Medjugorje, the Muslims are in heaven. That was Mary. She knows better than the Pope even. She's in heaven next to God. That's God speaking. See? Yeah, that's not what the church teaches. Who cares what the church teaches? Mary's above the church. I mean, Mary's part of the church, second in charge probably after Christ and all that. But how's Mary going to contradict the church that she's part of, that she's along with Christ? Then you're trying to tell me that the Mary who supported all these councils, Mary, seat of wisdom, who supported all these councils that said Muslims do not worship the true God, now you got this other Mary coming along and saying they do? Because she's appearing in heaven, she's giving these signs and wonders, it's like a fireworks show, hey, oh, look at that. They talk about how she was dressed, she had this mantle on here, it was purple, it was pink, she had these things over here, all this stuff. And you got these sort of like spiritual fornication, these nuns that were, they were like stoicky too, and they're telling all these visions about Mary. I mean, they're overdoing it. Agreed it was like that, I need to know all of this. Hey, we're going to know when we get to heaven. There's something, yeah, you want, there's things, but there's a proper time and a place in a proper manner. They overload it like. And then what happens is you find yourself listening to all of that, and this person, and then they curveball with your heresy, and you don't want to listen to dogmas because it's too boring, it's too dry. But you know, when you really have all the dogmas in the faith, it's beautiful. The love of God in your heart, the way you can understand it, the way God puts it together, you get this feeling in you that's so joyful and beautiful and holy. You don't get an apparition. Is not going to an apparition just alone. It's fake. It's like getting a sugar high. It's fake. I mean, you get a sugar high or heroin. You shoot heroin. A couple of minutes later, you're there. You go. These people have got to get their fix. I got to get my latest fix. And they got all these magazines about the latest, what Mary said, you know. And then they all start copying one another, too.
Even the Bible seems like dull.
Once
you start delving into these mystics, even the Bible.
That's right, Sal. Like dull. Absolutely. Boring, dull. Boring, dull, overly strict, because it's not flowery.
Yeah.
The Bible becomes very dull. You don't like the Bible. Same thing with the Hellenizers when they idolized philosophy. The Bible was dull. They hated the Bible. They couldn't understand it because it idolized philosophy. The Bible was, you know, or if they did read it, they would misinterpret it too. Then the more you ended up loving your Aristotle and Plato, the more, we know it, Brother Matthew, with the Roman Missal, look how they butchered the Roman Missal. If they had to write a thing on Aristotle or Plato, we'd have it all beautiful. Beautiful. Who's that one Hellenizer, nominal Catholic, had a bust of Plato in his room that would light up? He had a light under there, and bust of Plato.
Jerome? Was it Jerome?
No, it was some other guy in the Renaissance time. He put like a candle in there, and he would go there and pray before Plato. You know, I told you guys, there's only one good Plato.
Yeah.
It's the Plato, the stuff that you played, the Plato. That was fun stuff. But anyway, you see what's going on with these people, you know? You can't love one and the other. Okay. What is that? Is that almost 12?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll end the sermon here. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.